Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 34, verse 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Our Heavenly Father, we come into the presence of thy throne of grace by the mercy of Jesus and by the wonders of your salvation. And now you hear us, because we have a high priest who is at the right hand of the Father. Oh, thank you, Lord, that these things have been revealed to us through the scripture, and now we know it because of your Spirit has convicted us of sin and of mercy and of life. And as a church body, we open the doors of the church here in Morton Hill, California. We open the doors of KKNC, a large broadcast on the southern part of California, and then the internet across the world, so that the people may know that there is a God above all, and that we worship him in a spirit and in truth. As a church body, we pray for those who are our members and friends who need your hand of mercy, Dana Noriel, Tom Curley, Raquel, my wife, Mary and Jerry West in Costa Rica, Loretta Forrest, Donald McDowell, Ann Peretto, Dr. McCormack, and perhaps others who need your touch to heal their bodies and to cause them to be well. We have also missionaries across the world, Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott, and I thank you, Father, that now we have the tickets in our hand and our missionary is scheduled to come on October 12th to speak in our anniversary. Eusebio and Marisa Perez, David and Denise Rode, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Martha Poretti in Argentina, Dante Maruja Rabines in the Amazon and Iquitos, Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of a storm in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association reaching the young people in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, as Daniel is serving you today in Wisconsin and the motor race there. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided these missionaries to extend the ministry of the gospel so that people may know that there is a God. Lord, I pray for the pastors in America that they will stop foolish around in the pulpit, and that they will bring the word of God and the gospel of Jesus so that we can bring this America back to you. Doesn't matter how many cultures and different nations are here in America. What matters is that we, the preachers, be faithful to reveal your word. And so, Father, I pray for me this morning, too, that you will guide me and give me your thoughts and not mine, and that the people will hear you and know me. Thank you, Lord, for the support of this church. Thank you for how good the people care so the others may hear the gospel. After all, that's the riches that we have. It is not the house, the car, the work we do. It is you, Father. We know you. We can pray to you. We have been baptized by the Spirit of God, sealed by the Spirit of God, and now we are the children of the living God. And we want others to know also. So, Father, thank you for the freedom that we still have in our country. And we pray that as your people keep the support, we enlarge the ministry so many others that perhaps we will never meet, like the fellow who wrote me from a jail. I will never meet him in New York, but he hears us in the internet. And so thank you, Father. Thank you that you are reaching those that you have already before the foundation of the world in your mind. Now bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated, please.
Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Esther. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 595. We will be reading Esther chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Esther chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 107 in 20 provinces, that in those days when the king of Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 104 days, and when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver, upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zathar, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment, and the next unto him was Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Miris, Marsena, Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard to the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters unto all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the great privilege of coming directly into your presence because of the mighty works and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are involved in every aspect of life on earth, especially in our lives as believers, and that you uphold all creatures and actions and things that you have created by the word of your power. We are grateful that you alone know past, present, and future and control all things according to your wisdom and purpose. Our complete trust and our confidence is in you and not in ourselves or any other man. We thank you that you never change and have no plan B. And as believers, we thank you that you are for us. We pray that our response will always be praise and thanks in obedience to your word. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to teach from the scriptures those great truths that the world doesn't want to believe. And if there be any listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD who don't know you, we pray that you would draw them to Christ, that they too might know the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, and you do well if you keep your Bible open on Esther in chapter 1, which is page 595 in the Bible there in the pew. Microphone on. Last Sunday we start the studies on a book that's so interesting and so revealing. I think it's a book especially for believers. There is no mention of God. There is not a hint about the coming Messiah. There is no mention of hell. There is no mention of heaven. Actually, looks like it is not a religious book at all. Nevertheless, last Sunday, we saw an overall picture of the book. And boy, that God was at work. Amazing enough, that's your life and my life. Now, when I read the book, I first give a whole reading to the book. Then I read chapter by chapter again. Then I start reading chapter by chapter in detail. So, you see, I'm a slow learner, so I need to get the head pregnant with the Word of God in that book so that I learn it. That's what we're going to do. We go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to learn the Word of God and the mystery of God. And if you do not know God, please talk to me. Invite me to have a chocolate cake with you and a cup of coffee. And I have time. I have time. There is one thing as a pastor that I do have, is time for you. For you. Do I have leftover time? No, I make time. See, somebody told me, we don't have time, we have to make it. And as a pastor, if I don't make time, then I will not fulfill 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, we go to the book. Esther chapter 1. I always, after reading and reading and reading, give a title, just for fun. And my title to the chapter 1 is An Eventful Beginning, Incredible Endings. An Eventful Beginnings. The book began like anything else, but ends chapter 1 in an incredible way. Most of our days begin rather predictable. Is that right? No big deal. However, days that begin uneventfully can also lead into an unbelievable, indescribable series of heart-stopping experiences sometime. Now, I want to give you a biblical example so that you rely upon the Bible. And I want to remind you now, as an introduction, of those days that the Bible mentioned. How about the morning when rain began? If you have read your Bible from Genesis 1 to 7, you know that there was no rain in the whole earth. Genesis chapter 2 explained that rain was not on the earth, but God will open the sprinkles of the earth on the night. And the whole thing was watered down by God. No rain. How about the morning when rain began, resulting in the great deluge that covered the earth and destroyed life, save Noah and his family and the animals on the ark? Imagine that day, like any other day. And suddenly, the people go out of their tent and say, what is this? Rain, as Noah had predicted. How about the morning on a Judea hillside when a Jewish teenager who was shepherding the flock heard his father Jesse call him inside. And before the sun set down the same day, David would learn through Prophet Samuel that he will be the elected king of Israel. How about that day? He was just with his flock. He's just walking. Nothing big. He had to watch this here and watch over there, feed it here. And before the day ends, that little boy had the promise of Samuel. He will be the elected king of Israel. How about the day Jesus arrived? Amazing. There wasn't one citizen in Judea who awakes that morning expecting the day to bring such a life-changing event in the village of Bethlehem. People do not wake up that day in Bethlehem and say, oh, today is the day, but that was the day. They changed the events of the world. Now, I say all of these because that's exactly what happened with Esther in chapter 1. She was a non-orphan young woman whose life has absolutely no connection with the most powerful man in the Persian Empire. And at that moment, the most powerful man in the entire earth. So now, God, in a providential tapestry, was weaving these two unrelated lives together. King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, or in Latin Artaxerxes, with this Jewish lady. Each launch day for Esther began like any other day. In fact, her story in the Bible began as just another book on history. Look at in chapter 1, verse 1. Now, it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. Nothing remarkable. Nothing really paying attention to. See, now, like a book of history. Now, in the days of Ahasuerus, this is what happened. Then, we are told that the king gave a banquet. This banquet, however, was an extravaganza. You and I never been in a banquet like that. I've been for 29 years, four times a year, in banquets across the United States. I have spoken 3,000 people in a banquet and so on, but, you know, lasted 2 or 3 hours. I never have an extravaganza like this one. Observe the duration. Let me read for you verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now it came to pass, I'm reading Esther chapter 1, verse 1, in the days of Ahasuerus, these Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was a Shushan the palace that just above Syria, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast and to all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces, being before him. Now, pay attention in verse 4. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days. Look at now. Even 104 days. You know, 4 is score. In a score, it's in a square. In a square in mathematics, it's 2 plus 2 is 4. So here's what it is, 180 days. I don't want to give, my wife looked to me. I don't want to give you a lesson in mathematics, but that's my weakness, mathematics, all right? So you know what it is. And the King James holds it very well, that comes from the Latin translation, very, very well. Now, here's what it is, 180 days banquet. Have you ever been in a banquet like that? Now, I know when people get married in Latin America, like our wedding, lasts the whole night. You cannot get married 1 hour and it's gone. The wedding starts at 11 o'clock in the church, 11 p.m., and then lasts to the next day at 6 or 7 in the morning. And the broom pay everything. Look at the Iranians. They don't like that. All right. But that's the way it is. And you have two boys. All right. That's why he said, ha, ha, ha. You see, they come to a wedding. They don't just say, hi, happy. No, they sit and you better bring food. I mean, steak after steak and things like that, you know. No wonder we've been 7 years boyfriend before we can fork the wedding. Now, you see, this is an extravaganza. And you saw what they said in verse 4, glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty. Now, that's how mankind think, you know. I'm powerful. I'm number one. And then you wonder, where is God? You know, when I read that, I said, it's not that an offense to our mighty God. Where is God? He said, nowhere. Like a God doesn't exist. The guy do whatever he wants to. You know? Wait a little. Wait a little. Now, as if all of these weren't enough, hard on the heels of the king's extended self-glorification, another group was invited to a second banquet. They came by thousands, probably by tens of thousands, for 7 days, hold nothing back, order the king, bring out the best wine from my own cellars, let them have all they want. Let's read it. Verse 5 to verse 8. And when these days would expire in American English means you die, is that right? So those days die. All right? That means finish. The king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto a great and a small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and of silver upon the pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold. Wow. No, just a little simple glass. In vessels of gold. The vessels being diverse one from another. An American, you serve the table. All the glasses are the same. In a click banquet, every glass is different and is authentic, okay? So I relate to that. I have eaten in banquets like this. And royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. I mean, drink as much as you can. None did compel. So for the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to, what is it? Every man's pleasure. People talk about orgies today. Nothing compared to this one. People say, oh, the days today are trouble. Come on. This one is trouble. They say, oh, today the days are bad. Now, this is bad stuff. Where man thinks he is in control. That he is in power. But God was overlooking to all of this. And the king said, let's drink. So he can get drunk. Wow. Wow. On the other hand, Queen Vashti was giving her own banquet for the women in the place. The wives, sisters, and mothers of the important men in Shushan. Look at in verse 9. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Now, these are the royal people, everybody who work serving the king. And so here you have the setting of a unruling, looks like the world is gone to crazy. This king and his court, they do festivity after festivity. Nothing will stop them. They are in control of everything. And so looks like it. There is no God. They are their God. But then something happened. One of those unexpected moments that changed everything. This is God's finger. He don't even put the finger like that. He just moved it a little bit. He put the finger like this, we all disappear. He just moved the finger. In verse 10 and 11. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry. What a nice way the King James to say when he was drunk. With wine. He commanded Mehuman, Biza, Harbona, Bigtha, Abahda, Zethar, and Carcas, the seven chamberlains, these were officers of the court, that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal. So, to show the people and the priests her beauty. For she was fair to look on. She was a good looking gal. And he wanted to do that. He's drunk. He doesn't know what he's doing. He says, I bring my wife as an exhibit number one of beauty. All right? Put the crown on her so that I show up how big I am. All right? That little thing that he did was controlled by God too. Nothing that happened in this world is not outside the will and might of God, regardless what people said. And it's amazing. Out of the blue, the guy is going to show his wife. But the problem is, in verse 12, she say no. Look at verse 12. But when Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains, therefore was the king very wrath, and his anger burned in him. They maybe were very polite, and they came. I've been in banquets where I was the second in command of the largest radio station in the United States. And we did the banquet, the president was sitting on one side, and I was around. And when I had to change something, I went by the side and I talked in his ear what need to be changed. And he said, yes, I do it. And I imagine that's what the officer said, King, by the way, your wife say no. What? My wife? Say no. Obviously, King Ahasuerus knew no such restraint. Because his queen refusal really enrages him. No doubt his drunkenness contributed to this event. Seven cabinet members, now no officers, that's what the Bible gives you different names. Seven cabinet members now are mentioned and ask them, what should we do with the queen? Look at in the Bible. Right here, in verses 12 to 15. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlain. Therefore was the king very wrath, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshena. See, these are different names than the other people because they're in a different position. They are cabinet members. Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? Because she have not performed the commandments of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. I'm very sure that Vashti never thought that he was the king. He's my husband. And she said, no. Like your wife said to you, no. And maybe he said, what can I do? Never happened in my life before. Now, obviously, he and all the other men in the room were afraid that before long, all the women of the kingdom will be doing what Queen Vashti has done. Look at verse 16 to 18. And now you understand Afghanistan before America came into power. All right? The Taliban said man rules and no women. All right? Now you understand that's why you cannot change the East. All right? I don't care how many powerful forces you put over there. This is the root of their trademark. Verse 16. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti, the queen, had not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people they are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For these deeds of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husband in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. In other words, it's going to be trouble if we let these things go. So here is the outcome. Memucan won this edict written in the law of the Medes and Persia, the law which can never be changed. He said, we have to make a big deal about this. Now, look in verse 19. It pleases the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. In other words, there is no law of divorce in the East, but then it's like a divorce. She's no longer the wife of King Ahasuerus. That was the outcome. That was the outcome. And you think that outcome happened like that. Some people think, well, that's what happened like that. Now remember, you know the story because I told you last Sunday, these people want to eliminate every Jew that live in the land and kill them. And they have no army. The Jew have no army. The Jew have not insider. They have none, but they have God. And God is working this out. What you have to keep in mind is that Esther doesn't have the foggiest idea that any of these is going on. She knows nothing of the events transcribing or transpiring in the royal palace. She also knows nothing yet about his royal edict, which shall set events in motion that will totally change her own life. At this point, I want to call your attention to a scripture that's found in Isaiah. Put one hand here, Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11. This is the wonder of God's sovereignty. Working behind the scenes, he is moving and pushing and rearranging events and changing minds until he brings out of even the most carnal and secular of the savings a decision that will set his perfect plan in place. See, his ways are so different from ours. Let me remind you of what Isaiah really says. So I'm going to read it for you. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but weather the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bad, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody can frustrate God. Nobody. Nobody. Don't be afraid to do the will of God in your life, even though it is at odds with the reasoning of your mind. My friend, you read the newspapers, you watch the news, and you think this world is going crazy. No, this world is going exactly as God wanted, so that Jesus Christ will return. That's it. I tell the old people in the coffee shop, don't panic. Jesus coming again. This guy lost his brain. Well, every day is closer. Every day is a new event. When we read the Bible, it is important to pay attention to little particles like this one. After the things. Look at verse, chapter 2, verse 1. After, go back to Esther chapter 1 and look in chapter 2 and verse 1. After these things. When you read your Bible, you have to pay attention to the prepositions. Of course, in English, you don't pay too much attention to prepositions, but they're important because they navigate the verbs. The prepositions are attached in the back of the Hebrew verb, and they tell the verb where to go. And here it is, after these things. After is a big word. How many days, how many years after these things, I thought. You read the Bible casually, it's all the next day, but it's not so. It is not so, you know. I found that after these things is pregnant with meaning. Remember in verse 1 and in verse 3, look at verse 1 and verse 3. In the third year of his reign. Pay attention to that. I have a good gift that God gave me. I memorize good. So I memorize fractions. I remember when I was 18, I memorized the mantissa of every number. And I was doing the tests in mathematics so fast. I memorized. They stick with me. And so, it stick with me when I read, in the third year of his reign. Alright? Now, I thought, is this the fourth year, chapter 2, verse 1, is this the fourth year of his reign, or somewhere near the end of the third year reign? Because they say in verse 1, after these things. Now, when you're in doubt, keep on reading. Then I began to read through the chapter until I came to verse 16 of chapter 2, where it says that Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus, to his royal palace, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, and the 7 years of his reign. So, there is 4 years between chapter 1 and chapter 2. All right? Now, pay attention to that. So 4 years have gone by in between chapter 1 and chapter 2. Then we read in 2 Kings in chapter 2 and in verse 2, that King Ahasuerus is melancholic about Vashti. Imagine that. And then the attendants thought, what could cheer him up? Not any women, he needed a wife. Look at verse 2. Then said the king's servants, the minister unto him, let there be a fair young virgin sought for the king. The king now needs a wife. It cannot be any wife. Has to be fair. Fair in Hebrew means a super beauty. An incredible beauty. Let's find an incredible beauty. Anyway, we have 127 provinces. Somewhere in the kingdom is going to be something that you look on it and you say, boy, you say, woo-hoo! Yeah. Have you seen that when you saw your wife the first time? All right? Something like that. Verse 2. It's just amazing. Amazing. He is not drunk any longer. He's thinking clearly now, and his own needs were intensified by his loneliness. Man don't know how to live alone. So they put forth a mandate. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the good-looking virgins unto Shushan, the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hedge, the king chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given to them, and let the maiden which pleased the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the thing pleased the king, and he did so. All right. This plan not only gets a wife for the king, but also would assure that she was the most beautiful woman, in other words, Miss Universe. Miss Universe. In fact, notice what it says in verse 2:12. Now, when every maid turn was come to go into the king's Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, so were the days of the purification accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Now, man, if you really want to please your wife, you buy a perfume from Arabia. Just a drop of that perfume, pregnant the whole house. Will cost you $2,000-$3,000, a tiny little thing like that. 6 months of cosmetics. You know that word purification? That's the word cosmetics. 6 months, you think your wife takes too long in the mirror? Now look at this one. Look at this one. 1 year with these cosmetics, 6 months with these cosmetics, and the other with the other cosmetics, to take the roughness of the sun of the land, all right? These women are working women. These women are women who are under the sun of Arabia. And so the sun damaged your skin. And when the king looked at your skin, had to be perfect. And so it takes a year for this skin to be super, super. And the guy is going to wait. Amazing. It took an entire year for them to prepare these women to be presented to the king. That's a lot of cosmetics in 1 year, all right? Suddenly, while the harem is cosmetic city now, and the king is thinking about Miss Persia, beauty pageant, an incredible chain of events begin to transpire. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. Like nothing happened. Now, that's another of those tiny little words that appear in the Bible. Now. In Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Now, remember, there is no word for uncle in Hebrew. There is no word for grandfather. So they give you the names of your descendants. Verse 6, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Mordecai is totally unrelated to the king of Persia and to the Persian kingdom. He is a Jew living out his years in exile. He's also raising an orphan cousin named Hadashah, which means perfect beauty. Here is in verse 7. And he brought up Hadashah, which is perfect beauty, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful. I would say incredible beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took as his own daughter. This is the first reference to Esther in the book of Esther. And already we have learned two things about her. According to this verse, she was an orphan and she was grown up to become a young woman of incredible beauty. But at this point, she knows nothing about palace politics or lonely king or what the future holds for her. She is simply living out the rather uneventful days of life, having not the slightest idea that she one day will be crowned the most beautiful woman in the kingdom of Persia, and she will be the new king of Persia. Now, this is what happened to all of us. Esther was nothing. So I'm nothing. And you are nothing. But when we have God, we are someone. And He is looking for you. Don't think the uneventful days are just another day. I never bore in my life. I wonder when I wake up in the morning, what is going to happen today? I'm really excited. I never lost my soccer player ability to be excited. Do you see how God works? God is still work in uneventful times. Woven through the tapestry of this wonderful story, I found three lessons that I want to share with you. This is my three lessons that I learned from this scripture. Number one, God's plan are no hinder when the events of this world are carnal or secular. Because a king do whatever he wants to in a carnal and secular way, that will not stop God to intervene. So number one, God's plan are no hinder when the events of these worlds are carnal or singular. He's as much work in the Oval Office of the United States that in the pastor studies in my last trailer. And in your life, wherever you are. He's as much work in other countries of the world, like China and Korea, as he is in America. People tell me, are you afraid of China? No. The only thing I am is, I wonder what God's going to do with China. That's all. Are you afraid of Iran? No. The only thing I want is to know what God is going to do with Iran. See, we have this ability to trust God. Beloved, I want to say this to you. God is at work. He's moving. He's touching lives. He's shaping kingdoms. He's never surprised by what humanity may do. Never surprised. Never. He was not surprised when I was little and Hitler was in power and Mussolini, my mother Italian. And I heard from them talking. I'm not surprised. Number two. God's purpose are not frustrated by moral or marital failures. God's purpose are not frustrated by moral or marital failure. Isn't that encouraging? If you have failed in your first marriage and now you have the opportunity of a new marriage, it's not the ideal, but that means you are not blamed by God. He's going to give you an opportunity and a chance like He did to King Ahasuerus. I'm not encouraging divorce and remarriage, but if that happened in your life, that is not the end of your life. The end of your life is not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is the sin that is unforgiven. But God now has given another opportunity to King Ahasuerus, so He's given you another opportunity in the same way. And in spite of all that went on in the life and in the heart of Ahasuerus, God's purpose were not frustrated. And neither are they in your life, because He is a God of grace, not of judgment. Number three, God's people are not excluded from high places because of handicap or hardship. That's very, very important. God's people are not excluded from high places. Who knows what God's going to do with you? Who knows? Who knows? I remember at the age of 28 when I was elected senator in my country. And my family cried. They cried so hard that I resigned before I took office. Because they thought it was hell. And it is hell in one sense to be with all these unbelievers making law. But we need believers in the high places. And young man and young women, if God has led you, that's why I'm encouraging Jacqueline to study international law and to study everything. And she said, I want to work in Washington, D.C. Maybe she fulfilled the dream of my life to be a senator one day. So that you speak on behalf of God without fear in the Congress of the United States. Now, if I have to wrap up chapter 1 and the little verses in chapter 2, I will do so by looking to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. That will give you a summary of the wonders of this chapter. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Look at what the scripture says. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's heart is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Brother, what an encouragement. Behold, he said, the Lord's hand is not shorted that it cannot save. I have in the family, like you have in your families, people who are not saved. And we pray and sharing my life and my goods with my brother because I want him to see God in me. And I'm visiting. I even worked, remember 2 years ago, and get him out of a hospital that somebody accused him. And do all kind of things 6,800 miles from here. And I got a call from him. Thank you. After 10 years, thank you. You place me in a secure place. Everything in the family, you know how it is when you have properties, people fight and so on. I don't fight. I give it away. I said, I took him away from there, put it here. He said, thank you to my wife. I was not there. Thank you. I want to write to him. You can have a better, if you trust the Lord, you are in a better place than in that house that I place you. I have a foot to speak. Behold, my brother, the hands of the Lord is not shortened that terrible guy around you, he can be saved. I was saved. When I went to my aunt in San Francisco, after so many years, he came in. So I'm a pastor. And she said, you? Imagine how she knew me. But also, the verse said, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. That's why we have prayer meeting here on Wednesday night. I'm convinced that if this church come fully to prayer meeting, the city of Morning Hill gets saved. Doesn't depend on the preacher, depends on your heart to turn to God and say, God, we need to spread this gospel. This is not a social club. This is a place where we learn the scripture and then we witness about the Lord alive, alive. I told the man on Friday on the breakfast that was shocked the other day and Jack in the Box. I was peacefully drinking a cup of coffee and a guy said, this is a good man. I said, oh boy, I checked my wallet and said, this guy is going to pull something on me and take my coat off, be ready to fight. And he said, how do you know I'm a good man? He said, you pay my gasoline, he said. I was working and I need gasoline in my truck. I follow you. You filled my car with gasoline. I did my job in Salinas and that day, I did what I had to do because you're a good man. I said, well, you got the wrong expression. See, a good man is Jesus. Remember Jesus said, there is no good man, only God is good. And then why our church pay the gasoline for you is because God is good. And I was able to give him a Bible and able to talk to him. Now, this is what all of us need to do. Whether you see God or not, he is at work in your life every moment of your life. And you can pray. Say, God, this is my situation in my work. God, this is how my wife behaved. Lord, this is how my husband behaved. Lord, this is my children. Can you imagine raising foolish children? I mean, raising unbelievers' children. According to Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool say in his heart, there is no God. And how the child become a believer? You put time, read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. You brainwash his head with the scripture from 0 to 5. And after that, the child is set. One day I was speaking aloud in the coffee shop, talking to these Italians and Italian and the others. And out of the blue, from the right side, came Leo. And said to me, you know, my grandmother read the scripture. You see what I mean? The word of God is not void. Don't shut up the TV. Put it off. And read the scripture to your children and tell them, I believe it. And when they are in trouble, teach them to kneel down and pray. Because God's ear is not heavy to hear. Oh, may God bless us that we may depend on God and not in ourselves so much. In America, we are so independent. Like, I I just can go on and on and on with you. When we have the project to make the church, I told the church one Wednesday night, this church already put the money for building. The money that we have is going to be used for the gospel's sake. And we're going to sell this property, and with this money, we're going to get the other one. My friend, the Lord responded, and we have the property just four blocks from here. Pay. Ready to go for the new building. And God's going to bring somebody to give us the money that we need to build. When? That's not my business. That's His business. We have some people make an offer. We draw the offer. Other people make two low offers. We raise it up again. And we smile. And the broker and everybody around, they watch us like we are not desperate. The situation in America is going really bad. No, for us. No? No, we have the Lord. They look to you. Yeah, but your property is going to cost less. Come on. Come on. You don't know God. You don't know God. My friend, when we know God, we are at peace. And when you are at peace, you are in harmony. You are in harmony in your home. You are in harmony in the church. Because your trust is not in our possibilities, but in God's possibility. May God raise your life to look up rather than looking now. And like the hymn said, trust and obey. Because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson today to trust you. Because you are in control. Oh, God, we all have difficulties. We all have troubles. We all have problems. But when we are your children, we can trust you. And one day, when we never expected, you bring things into our life. They enhance our life and bring life to us. Lord, bless us with the power of trust, with the power of faith in your book, by the mercies of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere. With my salvation up to me, I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running, but losing the race, were it not for expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran the course I couldn't even start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, for grace, forever running, losing the race, were it not for grace.
Thank you, my brother. Lord, we love you. You gave us the written word so that we refresh our heart and mind and remind ourselves that we are not alone in this world, that you care for us. Like Peter said, putting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. But Father, help us not to be like King Ahasuerus. In this blessed America that we live, there are so many things the world provides to move our eyes from your kingdom into the world. Cause us to be sober, to know what is good and bad for us. Cause us to set our goals on you. First, to shine to the glory of God so that when people look to us, they can glorify your name. And then, Father, to be able to witness so others may know you too. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who explained it to us and revealed to us the power of trust. God, cause us to trust you even more today. In Jesus we pray. Amen.